You've heard truth today in a different way. If this is your first time with us, this is not something we do every Sunday. But yet, sometimes we go, what can children teach us as an adult? Interestingly, Jesus didn't have that view of children. In fact, he used children to teach lessons to adults that otherwise they would not get. And I believe that the children have shared a message with us this morning that hopefully you've gotten. And the question for you is this: who is Jesus? We've seen that put on display in song, in drama. But interestingly, I want to ask you a question. Do you have ears to hear what's been presented today? We're going to look at Matthew chapter 16 just quickly, beginning verse 13 through 17, about two questions that Jesus asks his disciples. And they're very important questions for us today as well. Look with me up at the screen on Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." It's interesting, and it's not by happenstance, that Jesus comes to this very place and this very time to ask this specific question. And the reason for that is because Caesarea Philippi was known for the worship of many different gods. Probably in the Old Testament, this was a location where the pagan god Baal was worshipped. During the time that Jesus is bringing his disciples there, there's a sanctuary to the god, the Greek god Pan, that's located there, as well as a Roman temple to the emperor who's there that would have been worshipped at the time. You can see up here on the screen just the idea of what this would have looked at like when Jesus is making his way towards this city. In addition to this, you'll find these niches in the rock where they would have had these statues that they would have been worshiping even at this location. And it is at this place, at this time, that Jesus chooses to ask his disciples two important questions. The first one's this: who do people say that I am? Interesting. If we were to ask the same question today, what kind of responses might we get? Who do people say that Jesus is? Some might say that Jesus is just some mythical figure that never existed. Others might say that Jesus was deceived as well as his followers were deceived. Others might say that he was just some spiritual religious teacher, a good rabbi of the day. Others might say that Jesus is just one of many different ways to get to God. It's interesting when we think about Jesus' message for his disciples and how that applies to us. But Jesus doesn't stop there with what do other people say. Look what he says in verse 15. "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" This is the all-important question. Interestingly, C.S. Lewis put it this way: "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice." C.S. Lewis put it this way: Jesus can either be a liar, a lunatic, or Lord, but he has to be one. And our default is not that he's our Lord. You heard the children say it. We're all sinners. We've all chosen our own way rather than God's way. And because of God's holiness, that means he has to bring punishment upon our sin. The question is, how can we have a right relationship with God in light of our sin? Interestingly, when we think about being in the default position of him not being our Lord, question is, how can this relationship between God and man be united? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, we find Peter's statement. Listen to what Peter says. Simon Peter answered Jesus' question, and he says this, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Simon used four definite articles. He did not say, "Jesus, you are a son of a God, a living one." No, he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the God, the living one." You see, in our world today, we want to have the perspective that there are many ways to get to God, but Jesus says otherwise. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says this, Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, Jesus has something very interesting to say to Peter in verse 17 after Peter makes this statement. Look with me. It says, Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Jesus didn't give Peter an attaboy or way to go. No, rather, the praise went to God because it was God who opened Peter's heart to be able to understand the wonderful things about who Jesus was. You see, this is the all-important question, and this is the question the boys and girls were wanting us to have ears to hear. The question is this, who do you say that Jesus is? You've heard testimony from a mock trial that children have put before you. The question is, what is your response? Is he Lord? And if he's the Lord, if he's the master, if he is the savior, if he is the redeemer, if he is the rescuer, then there is a proper response. And that proper response is to turn to him and turn away from your sin and believe in him, trusting in him and him alone, rejecting all other ways to get right with God. And then the beauty of the gospel is, because of what Jesus has done for you, you will be saved. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes. We have heard song. We have heard through drama. We have heard through his word the beautiful truth of the word of God of who Jesus is. We recognize that each and every one of us, the Bible says, have sinned, chosen our own way rather than God's way. And maybe right now you're feeling and sensing that the Spirit of God is working and you're seeing your sin before a black backdrop. The beauty of the gospel is displayed brightest in that situation because God has not left you there. If you would call out to him, repent of your sin, believe in the gospel, you will be saved. I'm going to be out in the foyer after we get through. I'd love to be able to meet with you to share more about the good news of who Jesus is. Lord God, we come before you, thankful for the opportunity to be together and thankful for being taught, Lord, from the mouths of children. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here, Lord, or anyone watching, Lord, who does not know you, Lord, that today would be the day in which they understand your marvelous rescue plan and your love for them. Lord, thank you for our time together. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to be exalted in the rest of our day and our week. This we pray in your name. Amen.